2 Timothy tonight for the reading of God's Word. Thank you, Miss Paula, for singing, Brother Brian for playing. I mean that it's a blessing to the service to have the singing Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday nights, and just a blessing to be here tonight in the house of the Lord. We started a series, I guess you could say, on Bible doctrines. And I don't apologize for that. The Lord put it in my heart, and several have told me that they're actually enjoying it. Amen. And I think it's just going to get gooder as we go. Amen. Our first Bible doctrine was on the doctrine of revelation. And it kind of crosses a little bit, but I'm going to give you something tonight that I believe will help you make a distinction between the doctrine of revelation and the doctrine of inspiration. That's what we want to start talking about tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I started looking here a while ago while they were singing about maybe where to start reading. But I think verse 10 would be a good place. Paul is writing to Timothy and he said, "But thou hast fully known..." What's the next two words? Did you know there have been people that's actually spit it out of their mouth and said something like this? "Why, doctrine don't matter." Well, doctrine does matter too. Amen. Bible doctrine is what we live by. Amen. That's the teachings of the Word of God. "You've known my doctrine, my manner of life." And by the way, they ought to scotch one another. Somebody says they got a right doctrine, ought to be living a right life. Say amen. And they should compliment one another. "My purpose of life," or my purpose, "my faith, my long-suffering, charity and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endure, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all them," or "all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But I thought it'd be good to read this tonight. Verse 13 is one of the reasons. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." Honey, we're there. I mean, we're there where people in high positions would just soon lie to you as tell you the truth. Amen. I've told some people that I believe some would rather climb a telephone pole, stand on their head and tell you a lie, as to stand on the ground and tell you the truth. We're there. "Evil men, seducers, wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But," Paul tells young Timothy, "continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child." Now, you might think right there Paul's just talking about himself. No. Remember his mother and his grandmother. He's not just talking about what Paul's taught him. The Bible teaches that Timothy's mother and grandmother had a great, great influence. I believe that's 1 Timothy, isn't it? Let me see here. No, 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Let's back up and read it. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in thee," verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also." So when Paul says here that "continue thou the things thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." How many is glad somebody taught you the Word of God? Amen. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Here's our verse tonight. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." When a man of God stands to preach or stands to teach the Word of God, beloved, he's got everything he needs right here. God furnished everything that he needs. I was telling somebody the other day, it's only been probably a couple years ago that I was introduced to an oscillating saw. It's a saw that vibrates back and forth real fast, and you can put different kinds of blades on it to cut different things. And I had never been introduced to one. And I don't know how I did carpenter work and remodeling all those years without one, Brother Mike. But I did. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. In other words, I found another tool that I liked. And by the way, my middle name's Timothy, so I'll be Tim the Tool Man if I want to. Say amen. And I found another tool. What I'm going to tell you tonight is God's men don't need any other tool in the work of God. We got the tool right here. It's perfect. It's truly furnished. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for my people that are gathered in the house of God tonight. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll, Lord, just help us to rejoice in thee. God, these truths that lie before us, Lord, help us to convey them tonight in a way that would be pleasing unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen. The term inspiration or inspire comes from the Latin word to breathe in. The Greek term is God breathed, and it's a hard word for me to say, but it's like theopneustos, which we get the word pneumatic or pneumonia, those things that are related to breath. So what the Bible is teaching us is that this book, Genesis to Revelation, is God breathed. Now, I'm not against a red letter Bible, but I'm going to tell you something right now. That's Jesus talking, amen? But you need to understand, he's talking in the black letters too, amen? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything that was made, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we have the written Word of God in our Bible. We have the living Word of God in the Lord Jesus. And I'll say a lot more about that a little bit later on. It is not us breathing in. That's not what inspiration's about. But it's about God breathing out. I thought about something, and I was going to talk about this a little bit later. But you remember when God made a man. You remember what he did? He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You remember that? Well, I took that and related it to salvation, my salvation experience, because the Bible said I was dead in trespasses and sin, but thank God the Holy Ghost come by and breathed, amen, into me. How did he do it though? He done it through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How does the doctrine of inspiration differ from the doctrine of revelation? This is something that I learned that really fascinated me. Revelation is the content. Inspiration is the vehicle. That's how we got it. Amen. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. When I thought about that statement today, I thought about the train. Those little children, Brother Gary, that ride the train, that's the content. But the train is the engineer, and the engineer is the vehicle that takes them from the church up to the shelter, back to the church, back to the shelter during Bible school. And so God is telling us that this inspiration is the vehicle by which God gave us the Word of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word that God reveals and puts it through the mind of human writers. Think about that. The Bible said, for this prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to repeat this. I don't know why, but I'm going to repeat it. I said it, I believe, just a little while back. But there are people that believe the writers of the King James Bible were inspired. I don't believe that. I believe in the original tongue, in the Hebrew, and in the Greek. The holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But what I believe about our English version, the King James Bible, is that God preserved his word in the English speaking people. Amen. And he said he would preserve it to every generation. And if you don't believe what I just said, then that means between the early 1600s with all these English speaking people and the late 1800s, if you're going to take that Bible, that first one that come out, I believe it was the Revised Standard Version. If you're going to take that, well, then you got to believe there's a gap in there. Well, we really didn't have a Bible in the English-speaking language, and I don't believe that. Amen. My dad, we were working, and I don't care to tell you. I'm just going to tell you. Amen. It is what it is. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were we were at a graveside service, and it was a Methodist church, and I was talking to this man that was there, and I said, I was in a Methodist church one time. My dad and I were working. We were sweating. And Dad said, son, look in that refrigerator and see if you can find us something to drink. Honey, I opened the door on that refrigerator and I was shocked. I just thought I was in a church. I didn't think I was in a bar. Amen. They had everything under the sun in there to drink. But there was this guy, he was an Episcopalian. And he was going one morning, I'll just tell you this about it. My dad and I were working for him, and he was going one morning to preach a funeral. He left the house at 10 o'clock in the morning, and Dad and I'm telling you, we were worried about him. He was so drunk, he couldn't hardly get to the car at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now you say, Pastor, you putting him down? Now, I'm just telling you, a lot of people, beloved, listen. They don't like this old King James Bible. Let me read you something. Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, because it contradicts them. That's why men reject the Bible. Amen. It plows close to the corn. It plows down there close to where you live. Amen. And this guy gave my dad a Bible. And my dad said, son, take this Bible and look at it and see what you think. And I'd been reading over there in the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. That's where I'd been reading. And so I opened the Bible, that book. I opened that book that said it was a Bible, to Daniel chapter number 3, and I got down there, and here's what it said. Our Bible says this. It says, lo, did we not throw 3 men bound into the burning fiery furnace? Nebuchadnezzar said, lo, I see 4 men loosed and walking around. And the form of the 4th is likened to the, capital S, Son of capital G, God. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't too smart, but I know who delivers from the fire. Glory to God. Amen. So I opened that book and I read it, and it said this, that we not throw 3 men bound into the burning fiery furnace. Lo, I see 4 men loosed and walking around, and the form of the 4th is likened to a son, little s, of the gods. Little g, plural. Oh, you say, well, they didn't change much. They changed everything. When you take John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, you take out begotten. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Problem, it made the verse a lie. Because Jesus is not God's one and only Son. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see, if you have a problem with inspiration, you've got a problem. You've got a bad problem. Amen? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God wants us to study this and see that God breathed this book. He gave holy men of God. Now, some say the Bible is just a high level of human achievement. You know, it just, you know, there's all kinds of books out there, I guess. I know some of these, the name of some of these authors. I've never read after them. I'm probably not smart enough to read after them. But they say it's like a high level of human achievement, comparable to the works of Shakespeare and others like him. And let me ask you a question. If that were the case, how come no one ever came up with a character like Jesus? You ain't never going to read in another book about someone that cares like Jesus. Someone that loves like Jesus. Someone that died like Jesus. Someone that got up the 3rd day according to the Scripture like Jesus. Somebody that could raise the dead. He couldn't even attend a funeral. If he went, they got up. Amen? I'm just telling you, beloved, there's nobody like Jesus. Thank God before I was ever saved, beloved, there's something about that name. We know that tonight. Jesus is the theme of the entire Bible. I want you to think about this. If God is breathing out the Word of God, and that's what it is, inspired, the inspired Word of God. If God is breathing it out, who would you be bragging on from Genesis to Revelation? Well, guess who's bragged on from Genesis to Revelation? I got to thinking about if I was writing a book. Brother Chuck, there'd be a lot in there about Jeremy. He's my son. I'm proud of him. He ain't even perfect. He ain't never raised the dead. He ain't never died for nobody. But I'd still mention him, amen. I'd be telling about my son. He works hard at the Eastman. Then he goes home, works hard on the farm. I'd want everybody to know about my son. Well, guess what? We got a Father in heaven. Glory to God to give us a book. He breathed in that book, amen, inspired that book. And you can start right there. Listen, I don't expect that Adam knew what God was talking about in his son there in the garden when... Well, let's go back and read it. Genesis chapter number 3 real quickly. I don't expect that Adam knew exactly what the Lord was talking about right here. And to be honest with you, before I saved, I didn't know what he was talking about. He said in verse 12 of chapter 3, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and... It ain't his seed. It's her seed. Glory to God. You understand, Jesus wasn't born of a man, because he would have had that curse in him. Amen. He would have been a sinful man, because we've inherited, and the Bible said, in Adam all die. Whereas by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But he said, her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You say, well, Pastor, is that the first mention of Jesus? No, you got to go back into Genesis chapter number 1 when he said, let us. Jesus is right there in us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. And by the way, and God said, let there be light. Amen. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. He's the theme of the entire Bible. The writers wrote over a period of at least 1,500 years. There were a little over 40 writers writing all over that space of time. I'm telling you tonight, if you had a son like Jesus, I believe you'd brag on him too. Somebody say amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen to me. There are times, and I hope my son don't hear this, but there's times I've been ashamed of him. You want to know why? Because he acted like his mama. No. Because he acted like his daddy. I'm telling it right now. Amen. There have been times, but let me tell you something tonight. This is exciting, Brother Chuck. There's never a time when the father looked down and was ashamed of his son. The Word of God said, I do always those things which please the Father. Not one time did he ever miss it. And so God is breathing this Word. He's breathing this Word. He's bragging on his son. Let me give you some things tonight. Jesus, he's the theme of the entire Bible. No wonder that Jesus, beloved, listen to me tonight. Jesus, you remember in John chapter 5, verse 39, he said, search the Scriptures. He's telling that religious bunch, search the Scriptures. They sewed the Scripture up in their garment. You know what I mean? They done all kinds of things with the Scriptures, with the law. He said, search the Scriptures. He said, watch this. For in them you think you have eternal life. But he said, these are they that testify of me. Honey, Genesis to Revelation. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. The Father. On the road to Emmaus, Luke chapter 24, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Notice these two words, concerning me. Honey, it's all concerning him. Somebody say amen right there. Concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. There it is again, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. In John chapter 17 and verse number 8, for I have given unto them, Jesus is praying. He's talking to the Father. He said, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. You know, there's not a word in this Bible that God did not breathe Jesus said, I've given unto them the words that thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Jesus referred to the scripture. He, in his own ministry, over and over, listen, he would say things like, have you not read? Have you not heard? Did you never read? Is it not written? And then I like this one. It is written. Amen. When he got out there in the wilderness with the devil, and the devil was tempting him. Listen, I think it goes back to that scripture where the Bible said even Michael the archangel durst not bring a railing accusation against the devil. But he said, the Lord rebuked thee. Amen. And Jesus didn't get out there and try to take him on by himself. He said, there's a book. My Father's breathed, amen, this word of the living God. And beloved, that's where we'll find the power. More than 3,800 times in the Old Testament. Think about this. We have expressions like, thus saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came. God said, to believe the doctrine of divine inspiration. Listen to me tonight. Is to believe. Listen. God said it. And that settles it. You don't have to question what God said. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, I don't understand it all. You're in good company. I don't either. Amen. But I believe it all. Amen. Somebody come up with a statement years ago and said, God said it and I believe it and that settles it. It's settled whether you believe it or not. Amen. It's settled whether we believe it or not. It behooves us to believe the Word of God. Let me move on. At times, holy men were writing of things that they did not fully grasp. That goes back there to what I was talking about Adam, when Moses gave us that in the Pentateuch. And 1 Peter 1:10, it said, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. But listen, Paul's the one that brought us and showed us that mystery. Amen. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So, beloved, listen, this inspiration at times was not even understood by the prophets that were writing it down, but they wrote it down anyway because God was breathing His Word in them. Since we believe that the Bible does not contain the Word of God, listen to me. That's what some people say, well, the Bible contains the Word of God. They tell you a different statement. The Bible is the Word of God. See, if you say the Bible contains the Word of God, then what part don't belong? I'm going to tell you something right now. I love every one of you. Let me see if I got it here in my pocket. Nope, I don't think I put it in my pocket today. Yeah, maybe I did. Yeah. My knife. It's sharp too, Brother Mike. Amen. I used to hand my knife to Daddy and he'd say, son, be careful and don't bruise yourself with that thing. Amen. It's in sharp. But Brother Brian, I love you. You come up here and you get a knife and you start cutting portions out of my Bible, we're going to have a problem. That's what the modernists are doing. Amen. And if you're not careful, listen, this may blow your mind. I love my Scofield Bible. But if you're not careful, you'll fall for that too. I believe old Scofield just repeating things that he heard sometimes. He'll say, in the original text, this was not there. Well, you cut it out of yours, Scofield. I ain't cutting it out of mine. Amen. You say, well, you're not nearly as smart as Scofield. We'll find out one day. I believe every man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Don't take one out of it. Amen. And so if we believe that it's the inspired word of the living God, what shall we do? God breathed the word out. What is our responsibility concerning this God-breathed book? Are y'all ready? I got about 7 or 8 minutes. That's if I get done by 8 o'clock. That's the biggest if you've had today. Amen. Listen to me. What should we do with it? How many believes it is God's Word? don't contain God's Word, don't need to be fixed. I've been preaching for years. Amen. We need to get in it. We're what needs to be fixed. Well, what should we do with it? Number one, I don't have them all numbered, so first, because I got a bunch of them, we should have absolute confidence in it. You know, I've been around some of y'all long enough. If you told me something, I have absolute confidence in what you told me. But I'm telling you, you can take that and multiply it to the nth degree. When I read my Bible, I have absolute confidence that it's the Word of God. Listen, the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Then Luke 16:17 said this, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. That's your little punctuation marks. I got a hold of something today I want to share with you. I think you'll like it. Amen. I want you to think about this. Let me see if I can find it here. I got papers going everywhere. Amen. Here it is. A wealthy woman who was traveling overseas, she saw a bracelet that she thought was irresistible. So she sent her husband this cable. See, they didn't have cell phones and text and email and all that. She sent him a cable. Said, have found a wonderful bracelet. The price is $75,000. May I buy it? Her husband promptly wired back this response. No, comma, price too high. But the cable operator omitted the comma. So the woman received this message. No price too high. This woman was ecstatic. I get to buy it. Amen. I believe we ought to approach the Word of God like that. Don't take one jot or one tittle out of it, because that could change the meaning of the whole thing. It said here, elated, she purchased the bracelet. Needless to say, at her return, her husband was dismayed. It was just a little thing, a comma, but it made a big difference. Amen. I know one thing, if I ever get a cable like that from Miss Eve, I'll be careful. I'm not going to depend on anybody else to write that message. Amen. I'll write it myself. Amen. When we got married, I promised her rocks as big as diamonds, and we've been about everywhere we've lived. I've lived up to that. Amen. All right. We can have absolute confidence in it. Number two, we should live by it. The Bible said, he answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When I read that today, I thought about a young preacher that said to an old preacher, he held up his Bible. He said, I got a lot riding on this book. You know what the old preacher said? That's a good place to let her ride. We got a lot riding on this book, youngins. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Let her ride. Amen. Because God's Word will stand. Amen. Brother Leonard Fletcher wrote a song, God's Word Will Stand. I love it. I hope you'll listen to it sometime. It's awesome. Amen. That's one we need to get in the church, Brother Dale. Specials or somebody. I don't know. Choir. I don't care who. Just get it in here. Amen. God's Word will stand against the raging tide. Those who criticize, let them criticize. God's Word will stand. At times, beloved, let's see here. I'm not going to number them anymore. We should have absolute confidence in it. We should live by it. We should read it. Paul told Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading. Here's going to be our word again. The exhortation. That exhortation is building up. You remember what the Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and even so much, but exhorting one another. Even so much the more as you see the day approaching. God understood that as we near the end, evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. But thank God he breathed into a book that'll help us through. Amen. And so we need to read it. And then we need to absorb it. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I didn't have this in my notes, but Psalm 1 said we need to meditate on it. We need to absorb it. We need to be like, boy, I'll tell you something. Brother Jason, you ever preach and maybe there's somebody there that maybe they're a new Christian or maybe they're just so hungry and they sit there just like a sponge soaking up every word. There's nothing like it. Amen. God said, why don't you get in my book and soak it up? Absorb it. Amen. Well, we need to memorize it. Thy word have I hid in my heart. When's the last time you memorized a verse of Scripture? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When's the last time you memorized a verse of Scripture? Hid it in your heart. These little youngins are doing it. Why can't we do it? We can. We're just not putting forth the effort. Say amen. We ought to memorize the word of God. Then we ought to study it. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's something that I found. Here's why we don't study it. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There's no end. And much study is a weariness to the flesh. Let me tell you something right now. If you can't sleep, get your Bible down and determine you're going to read 5 chapters. This flesh... honey, this is not a fleshly book. Say amen. This is a spiritual book. And we shouldn't give God the leftovers in the day. We ought to give Him the very best part of the day that we might see what He wants. Then we ought to obey it. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In Luke 6:46, He said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We ought to obey it. I like this. You might say, well, Pastor, we don't need to do this, but I believe we do. We need to defend it. When somebody, beloved, listen, starts spitting out stuff that's contrary to the Word of God, starts putting down the Word of God, you say, where'd you get that, preacher? Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Oh, I think about Jamie Ray. I had the teenage group there when I first got saved at Landmark Baptist Church. Jamie went in that science class and they started teaching him that he come from a monkey. And you know what it is, evolution. Old Jamie reached down. The teacher made a mad mistake at the end of the class. She said, anybody got anything you want to say? Old Jamie reached down there and I taught our kids. I said, if you don't read this book, don't carry it to school. I said, if you're ashamed of Jesus, don't carry the Bible. I said, if you're not trying to mind what God said in this book, I said, don't carry it. But I said, if you ain't ashamed of Jesus and you love this book and you're saved and you're not ashamed, I said, carry your Bible. I said, that'll speak thunder to others. Amen. He reached down under there and it was on top. He got it up. He stood up and he said, this book says, in the beginning God created. He said, I believe this book. He put it right back down under his seat. Glory to God. You say whatever you want to. That took some grit and some grace. Amen. To stand up in front of your peers in the science class. Amen. And so we need to study it. We need to obey it. We need to defend it. But then I wrote this down. We need to wield it. You say, Pastor, what do you mean wield it? The Bible said take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, a sword ain't going to accomplish much in the sheath. But honey, you need to get it out and wield it. And you know what I love about the Bible? I've watched some of them movies, you know, and they'll hit two swords together. And one of them's sword will break and he's just left with a stub. I got one that'll never be a stub. It'll never be dull. Amen. I'm telling you, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So we need to wield it. I was thinking today, I meant to bring it tonight. It's up in the shop. There was a Philippine missionary years ago. He gave me a sword. It's got a sheath. And they made it out of a leaf spring on a car over there in the Philippines. They heated it up, beat it out, sharpened it up. And he came to the church when I was pastoring at Liberty. And he presented me the sword. He said, I give sword to pastor. May need in business meeting. He'd only been in the States 6 months, amen. I guess he'd done seen some ruckus Baptist business meeting. I don't know, amen. And besides that, a 38 travels faster than a sword. But anyway, so we need to live by it. Then we need to preach it. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort him with all longsuffering. Here's our word again. And doctrine. We've looked at the doctrine of revelation. We're looking at the doctrine of inspiration. They're equally important. Then we need to teach it. Paul and Barnabas, they continued in Antioch. This is Acts 15:35. Teaching and preaching. If there was no difference, then why do you say it like that? Now, I don't know, but I'm going to give you my pastor's definition that I was saved under, Brother Bud Wishon. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, teaching builds a man's intellect. He said, preaching lays a demand at the heart's door. I'm going to tell you this. God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How many can remember a message you heard before you ever got saved? I'm going to tell you something right now. Old Brother Bud Crucenberry, that was Eddie's daddy, and they're both in heaven now. Brother Bud got in a tent meeting up in Shady Valley, Tennessee, and I went up there one night. I'd been going to church 2 or 3 years, and I went up there one night, and I really believe I ought to have got saved that night. He got up and had the audacity. He's one of them preachers, honey, that had cotton in that side and cotton in that side and cotton in the middle sometimes when he's preaching, amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Little white stuff, amen. Somebody asked Mays Jackson what that was. He said, that's honey from Canaan's fair land, amen. He got up and preached, Brother Brian, on religious wrecks on the highway to hell. Mercy sakes, however, it wouldn't be no different if he hung me on a pole and skinned me alive. Preaching. That's what we need. The preaching of the Word of God. But we need teaching as well. Nehemiah 8:8 said, so they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Then we need to bathe in it. Sanctify them through thy truth, Jesus said. Thy word is truth. In John 15:3, he said, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. You know, when people get dirty, what happens? I guarantee you could talk to them. They get away from this book. You get away from this book, going to get dirty. Amen. I'm not saying you won't get dirty if you stay in this book, but you'll get clean. Amen. It's a cycle. Amen. A cycle. And so we need to bathe in it. Then we need to share it. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. We don't need to be ashamed of him. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul said. It's the power of God unto salvation. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our... Boy, I remember well when God shed his love abroad in my heart. No one had to teach me to love the Bible, to love sinners, to love the church. No one had to teach me that. I'm telling you, God put that in my heart when he saved me. Amen. For that which cause I suffer these things, Paul said, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul, he knew. He didn't say what. That's what a lot of people tell. I know what I believe. Glory to God. The better way to say it is, I know who I believe. Amen. Then we need to cherish it. Stay with me just a minute or two longer. We need to cherish it. Psalm 119, verse 140. Let me ask you something. How many of you have ever gotten a love letter in your life? How many's ever gotten one? Now, you can keep them till you get married. Something got to give. You can't have but one love, amen. When you get married, that got to go, amen. I'm going to ask you something. Anybody ever have to beg you to read a love letter? Brother Mike, you're being honest with me. You know what this is? If you'll approach it in the right spirit, every time you open it, God will say, I love you. You say, Pastor, what if he's correcting me? It's only because he loves you. Amen. Whom I love, he said, I rebuke and chasten. We need to cherish it. The word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Thy words were found, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I didn't plan on saying this, but for almost a week now, listen, that woman over there, hey, somebody always, always wanting them cupcakes for some reason. But I found out something. If I'm on cupcakes, peaches aren't sweet. I don't want a peach if I'm eating cupcakes. I don't want an apple if I'm eating cupcakes. I don't even think grapes taste good if you're eating cupcakes. Here's what I'm going to say. I didn't plan on saying this. But some people, they just got too much junk going on to enjoy the sweetness of the Word of God. Every day now, sometimes twice a day, I ask Miss Eve, I like peaches cold. Maybe I'm different. But I tell her, stick me one in the refrigerator. She gets that thing out and she gets that, we call that thing in the middle, the pit out of it. And then she peels that thing for me and she cuts it up. Oh, honey, it's so sweet. You don't want to know why it's so sweet? Because it did away with the junk. Now, I can't tell you where I'll be next week. I'm just telling you where I am this week. Hardest thing ever done in my life. Woman brought me 2 apple pies last night and I didn't turn them down. Fried apple pies. Done lost my cotton-picking mind. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. 1 John 2:5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we're in him. I don't know about you, but God put his love in my heart when he saved me. But I believe he's still working on perfecting it in my life. My love for my children, my love for my wife, my love for my church. There's always room to grow. He's still perfecting it. And I believe this old book's how he's going to get it done. Let me share something with you if I can find it here. Have you enjoyed it so far? I'm done. I'm done after this. This is an unknown writer, and that's what it said. He's talking about the Bible. In other words, I'd give the writer credit if I knew who they were, but it said the writer's unknown. This book is the mind of God. If you don't have your book in your lap, I want you to get it in your lap right now. If you don't have your Bible, I want you to get it in your lap. Okay? This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly frequently and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself for all eternity. I want to close tonight by just hugging my Bible. I want to cherish it. If it weren't for the Word of God, I'd forever be lost. And I'll never be lost because God's Word will never change. Cherish the Bible. There are places overseas. I can't be specific right now, but I've actually had missionaries in times gone by where you can't have a Bible openly. So families, in some places, they don't even have a complete Bible. So the Bible is cut up in pieces. And one family will study a portion of Scripture and then trade with another family. And we've got Genesis to Revelation. How many of you have more than one copy of the Word of God in your house? Amen. There's no telling how many copies are represented here tonight of the Word of God. I'll tell you this, if you know somebody don't have a Bible, if you'll let me know, we'll get them one. Because I believe it's this book that makes the difference. I'm just glad you come tonight. Thank you for coming. The doctrine of inspiration. I don't know where we'll be going from here, except going on in the study. Amen. I don't know which one we'll go with next, but I'm looking forward to studying with you. Amen. The Word of God. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We'll be dismissed.